Thank you, Mr. President. Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, the South Centre has played an active role in supporting its 55 member states and other developing countries in taking forward the long-standing dream of the developing world to have an intergovernmental tax body at the United Nations. It is a matter of great pride and joy that the terms of reference of the UN Framework Convention on International Tax Cooperation have been adopted by the overwhelming majority of the UN member states. The years to come will see the creation of a new system of international tax governance that can be genuinely inclusive and effective and firmly anchored within the UN system. There is much work to be done. Despite decades of efforts, the OECD's rules have failed to stop tax-related illicit financial flows, which include tax avoidance, leading to continued losses of hundreds of billions in revenues each year that impair the realization of the right to development. The extreme complexity of the OECD's base erosion and profit shifting action plan has served more to benefit tax advisors and Big Four accounting firms than developing countries. It is claimed by the OECD that the global minimum tax will act as a disincentive for illicit financial flows such as profit shifting. However, the design of the rules makes it clear that tax avoidance can continue under the OECD global minimum tax. Multinationals can continue paying zero in tax under the so-called minimum tax. I repeat, multinationals can continue paying zero in tax under the so-called OECD global minimum tax. It is now clear that the real objectives of the global minimum tax are twofold. Firstly, to discourage multinational enterprises of developed countries from shifting operations to developing countries. Secondly, to eliminate developing countries' ability to offer tax holidays and through the system of qualified refundable tax credits only allow grants and subsidies as policy tools to attract investments. This clearly benefits the developed countries who have more resources at their disposal to give such subsidies. As such, the OECD global minimum tax restricts the ability of developing countries from attracting investments in high technology and other sectors and moving up in the value chain, and hence undermines their development efforts. For these reasons, a genuinely effective solution on stopping tax-related illicit financial flows is urgently needed and can be achieved via a protocol to the UN Tax Convention on Illicit Financial Flows. The following are elements that can be considered for inclusion in such a protocol. A universal intergovernmentally agreed definition of tax-related illicit financial flows that includes tax avoidance. At present, tax avoidance is justified as being legal, and developed countries and the OECD continue to try to narrow down the definition of tax-related illicit financial flows to only mean those originating from tax evasion. The protocol on illicit financial flows must clearly include tax avoidance, including transfer mispricing, as a source of illicit financial flows. Second, a solution for intra-group payments of royalties, interest, dividends, and fees for services. These are amongst the most commonly used methods for profit shifting, and despite the thousands of pages of the OECD BEPS actions, there are still no effective solutions available for developing countries. The protocol can devise effective solutions, such as by broadening the definitions of what are royalties and fees for technical services and removing the existing exclusions. The protocol can also address the challenge of rules governing the taxation of offshore indirect transfers, which are mergers and acquisitions done through tax havens, for which paragraph 7 of Article 13 of the UN Model Tax Convention can be a useful starting point. Public country-by-country reporting is also an integral part of the protocol so that all multinationals publicly declare how much tax they are paying in each jurisdiction where they operate, and this data must be declared publicly. The next is public centralized registries of beneficial ownership on all legal vehicles, and standards and guidelines for enablers of illicit financial flows like lawyers and accountants to commit to report aggressive tax planning schemes. And lastly, making transfer pricing comparable data a public good. At present, transfer pricing databases like Orbis are prohibitively expensive for developing countries, which prevents their ability to curtail profit shifting. Such databases can be transformed into global public goods and made available to developing countries for free. Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, the UN Tax Convention also has a major role to play in providing the world with a viable solution for taxing the digital economy. Countries have wasted more than 12 years negotiating a solution in the OECD that today nobody expects will be implemented. This is in particular due to the total opposition of the United States to allow its big tech firms to be taxed by other countries, even though these firms derive billions in revenues from these countries. This is despite almost every single demand of the United States being appeased, leading to a solution that delivers peanuts in revenues. revenue estimates by the South Center in collaboration with the West African Tax Administration Forum and the African Tax Administration Forum show that the 85 combined member states of the African Union and the South Center can expect between 7 to 10 billion euros in revenues from the OECD solution for taxing the digital economy and between 20 to 35 billion euros from a 5% digital service tax. Hence, digital service taxes, which are a commonly used national measure, can deliver more than 3 times the revenues of the OECD solution. For this reason, the South Center has been strongly advising its 55 member states and all developing countries to no longer waste time negotiating in the OECD and to immediately introduce digital service taxes and start collecting revenues which can be used to realize the right to development. It is true that having a wide diversity of digital service taxes can increase compliance costs and uncertainty for business, and for this reason, a protocol to the UN Tax Convention on taxing income from cross-border services can provide a standardized and harmonized approach to digital service taxes. The following are certain preliminary elements that can be considered for inclusion. First, a common understanding of what are automated digital services. The bulk of the income of big tech firms like Amazon and Google is derived from automated digital services like online advertising, search engines, platform intermediation, and so on. There must be a broad understanding of what are the services that should be covered. Paragraph 6 of Article 12B of the UN Model Tax Convention provides a good starting point. Second, a common understanding on the range of applicable rates. The protocol can provide and prescribe an acceptable range of rates to prevent too high or too low rates. The commentary on Article 12B suggests 3 to 4%, and this again can be a good starting point for the negotiations. Third is a common understanding of what counts as taxable presence. The protocol can provide a mechanism for modifying existing tax treaties to incorporate the principle of significant economic presence so that digitalized multinationals have a presence, a taxable presence in the countries from where they derive revenues, even if they are not physically present. Lastly is an understanding on the elimination of double taxation. There can be a commitment by countries that if a company has paid a digital service tax that meets this common understanding, then such a payment will be provided relief. For example, if a big tech firm is headquartered in a developed country and pays a DST to a developing country and the digital service tax meets these conditions, then the developed country can provide tax relief to eliminate double taxation. If a country chooses not to participate, like the US, its companies will suffer double taxation and become less competitive. This approach can therefore incentivize the participation of all countries in the protocol. Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, in conclusion, the UN Tax Convention can establish an inclusive, fair, transparent, and equitable framework, and the South Center will continue to support its member states with a view to bringing about the early realization of this convention and the protocols at the earliest. Thank you.